Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment. In this experiment, we investigate the Galloway run-walk-run training method to determine the advantages and disadvantages of using this approach to train for a full marathon. Please follow this experiment in this podcast as well as on our own website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and consider becoming an active member in your own marathon this fall.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment, Episode 3. This is your host, Kevin, and I'm out today on my lunchtime run on Monday, May the 24th, in about 80 degree heat. So I thought I would record immediately as I headed out the door before I get so hot and sweaty. I can't read my show notes anymore. First of all, a big thank you to all of you who are following along on this experiment. And particular thanks to those of you who have sent me all the tremendous emails I've gotten, the voice submissions, the banter over at Buckeye Outdoors, and all the questions you've sent concerning the Galloway run, walk, run method. And I beg you to keep those coming. The listenership, if that's really a word, the number of listeners to this podcast has increased tremendously since we've started this. So I certainly hope that means you're interested in what we're seeing here. So a big thank you. So, what can you expect in today's episode? Well, first of all, there'll be some more submissions from the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment guinea pigs and how their training is coming. And I have got two amazing interviews today. We will discuss some more topics with our friend Jeff Galloway about his method and touch upon some things that have pretty much nothing to do with this experiment. Stuff that I think is just very interesting and amazing that Jeff would decide to even let us into that part of his life. My next interview is one that I want you all to pay particular attention to. It was not just one of my favorite interviews I've ever done with a listener. It remains what might be one of the most inspiring and thought-provoking interviews I've ever done. So I would ask that you push your earbuds a little more heavily into those ears during those two interviews, because it's really good stuff. And finally, we will discuss with Jeff some questions from your fellow runners about the method. So let's get started, shall we? So with apologies to my favorite professor and head Department of History and Foreign Languages of the Jacksonville State University, a little bit of history. Were you aware that Viagra was discovered while scientists worked on a new angina drug? or that Mrs. Wakefield, the owner of the Toll House Inn, ran out of baker's chocolate while she was making chocolate cookies, and so decided to add a few pieces of semi-sweet chocolate to her cookie recipe, assuming that that chocolate would melt and make chocolate cookies. Or were you aware that the Atlanta pharmacist John Pemberton was trying to make a cure for the common headache when he came up with the recipe for Coca-Cola? So what's my point? Well, did you ever notice that sometimes while you're looking for one thing, something bigger and more important comes to light? Please listen closely to today's episode, and I think you'll begin to see why I mention these three historical facts. And one more question to ponder as you listen to this episode. Who are your role models? Maybe Lance or Neil Armstrong? Maybe Mickey Mantle? I would contend that a role model should be someone who encourages, inspires, and serves as an example. So listen very closely to today's episode, and you may just find someone in this episode that meets that criteria. As far as my training goes, just very briefly, I think I have officially started my training program since the long runs on my schedule have now caught up with the long runs that I've been doing. I did a 10-mile run, it's actually more like 10 and a half, last Friday, with a 4-1 run-walk ratio, and felt amazing at the end. There's no doubt I could have gone on. There is, however, a lot of doubt that I could have gone on more than a few more miles, so I've got my work cut out for me, and we'll see how that goes. The heat has started here in Cincinnati, which reminds me that I've got to get very serious about two issues. One, some sort of hydration pack. And two, some sort of energy replacement. So I've started doing some investigating of some fuel belts as well as some energy replacement. So I beg you, if you have suggestions, recommendations, or something you tried that you did not like, send them to me. We'll talk about it. So let's get to the good stuff, and we'll chat again at the end. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Kevin, this is Ron from the Lost Trail Runner podcast. I've been listening to the Extra Mile for quite some time, but have never called in or sent you a message. I thought I'd send you a message since you have started your Galloway experiment. I have used Jeff's marathon, half marathon, and 10K training plans over the years with success. The most recent was the use of his 10K plan to train for the half marathon. May sound crazy, but it worked for me. I took 10 and a half minutes off my ING Georgia half marathon time from last year to this year. I used Jeff's marathon training program and PC Coach Elite software to train for my 96, 97, 98, and 99 Disney marathons. None of those races were record breakers for me, but it wasn't because of the training. I always made the mistake of going to the theme parks the 2 days prior to the races, the sacrifices we make for our kids. I have just restarted a 10K training plan to get ready for Peachtree on July 4th. I'll be interested to see how your experiment works out. So I'll be listening to your podcast. See ya.
Hey, Kevin, this is Larry in Connecticut. Hello, Extra Milers. Just wanted to give you an update on the experiment for my plan. I'm on, I think it's week 4 of my Galloway plan, and last weekend I did a 7-miler. Actually, it turned out to be an 8-miler. Jeff had me on a going to 30 seconds and 30 seconds, which I thought would be easy. And it ended up that the 8 miles was actually, it's the first time in a long time that there was no pains or aches or anything else. I'm getting over a hip flexor injury. And that's probably since last July, that's the first time, really no pain. And it was really kind of fascinating. But that's why I think one of the dangers in Jeff's plans are that you kind of feel really good after and think you can go longer and further. And actually, I think this weekend in my plan, it's only a 3-miler. So if any danger in Jeff's method, it may be that you feel really good and you can go further. And personally for me, that's where I get injured. So I recommend it to everybody so far. It's really good. It's almost too good at this time, but there's still a long way to go. I just have to behave. I just want to make a comment on the gym boss. I know you were talking to Adam about that. And I signed up for Jeff Galloway's e-coaching, and he recommended that also. So I got one, and I got to say, for a little thing, yeah, $20 I felt was a lot, but it's almost indispensable right now. It's a little simple thing, but it does a great job. I have a Garmin also, but had a problem hearing that little beep when you have your iPod on, so I'd be missing some of the intervals there. But this little thing, you just clip it on your waist, and just gives you that little buzz. It's like a nice little push. Either go or you walk, and I highly recommend that too. So things are good with me, and really looking forward to I'm doing the Marine Corps Marathon also October 31st, so I can't wait for that to roll around. Hope everybody else is doing well. Bye.
Hello, Kevin, and the podcast experiment. This 7 kilograms. And just a quick update on my Jeff Galloway training for the Long Beach Marathon in fall. Kevin, I have to really thank you for starting off this experiment. This is really exciting. I'm coming back from actually a year off of running. I had a problem with neuropathy in my legs, which is a complication of diabetes, and I've been working on that, and unfortunately it also led to a broken foot, which kept me out of running pretty long term. And I just happened to start off small again and getting back into running, and I saw your experiment and I jumped right in even before I knew what it was, only because I know the extra mile is always full of good, fantastic stuff, and I want to be a part of all of it. I'm out on a long run. It's Sunday, May, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, 15, 16, somewhere around there. And that's pretty bad when the days all kind of blend together. I know what day it is. I just don't know the date. As I said, I'm training for the Long Beach Marathon. I'm also training to run to carry this American flag while I run the Long Beach Marathon. So, like I said, I'm out for a 6-miler, and utilizing the Galloway program is pretty exciting. It's works perfect for entry level or coming back into it. I've used the Galloway for all 7 of my marathons, as well as the one ultra I did, the 50-miler I did, and my birthday ultra. I don't know if some of you remember, last year on my birthday, May 30th, I ran 43 miles around my age in miles. And yes, I used a 4-on-1 for all those, ran 4, walked 1. And, you know, I wanted to kind of point out that that Galloway was also, I'm being passed and getting the old podcaster eye again. Wanted to get, what was I saying? Oh, wanted to kind of point out that the Galloway program, and I think, Kevin, you've already done this, is more than just the run-walk. It's a whole
marathon or running training program. I started with a book called Marathon You Can Do It by Jeff Galloway. And he taught us more than just the run-walk method. Also, nutrition, pacing, mind, I don't want to say mind tactics. There was just a whole series of, you know, programs, chapters on different parts of the marathon, because if you've never run one, you need to know that it's not just running. There's a whole mental part of it, and training for a marathon goes deeper than just running. It's also, you know, internal in your body, external. It's trying to avoid injuries. You know, marathons and injuries kind of go hand in hand, and obviously you can't run with an injury. So, like I said, I'm utilizing the whole Galloway program to come back into this running and train myself up this summer for the Long Beach Marathon. And it's I'm really excited that I get to come back with a group of beginning and advanced runners in this experiment with Kevin and Jeff Galloway. This is probably the coolest thing I think I've been a part of. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out and an update. I think I've extended my walk break a little too long here. I have to apologize for the wind noise. It's a little rustly out here, and of course I'm carrying this flag that just keeps flapping in my face because the wind's at my back. But I will be dropping notes and messages for you, Kevin, and listeners. Take care, and as Steve would say, run long and taper.
Good evening. 10:35, Tucson, Arizona time. Dave Salzer. Going for a little evening stroll out here with the snakes, tarantulas, and other desert creatures roaming the streets with me this evening. Having a pretty good run, starting out a little winded. About 4.3 in right now. Running the Galloway 8-1. Giving that a shot. It is cooler this evening, probably 70s or so. Having just a wonderful time. Wanted to check in and say hey. You guys are all having a great training week. And I'm just going to continue on here. Oh, shooting to put in about close to 12 tonight. Running a nice slow 10:30 pace right now, but I expect as my legs warm up and I get a little more into this, I'll run my average 10-minute long run pace. So you guys all have a great week, and I'll see you another day.
Well, let's go over to the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment Celebrity Hotline, and we've got Keith Mason from Georgetown, Texas. Keith, did you know you were a celebrity today?
Yeah, I'm a celebrity every day.
Hopefully you'll get another 15 minutes of fame, because if this is it, sorry, I have to apologize. I spoke with Jeff Galloway just a little bit ago, Keith, and I mentioned something that I'm calling an aha moment that I've got in this whole Extra Mile podcast experiment deal going on. And one of the aha moments that I've gotten, that I had when I started reading his books, was that this whole Galloway thing is not necessarily just, hey, how to run a marathon. Not at all. It's more, at least as one gets older, it's more how to run till I'm 100 years old. And you and I have been exchanging emails, and that's kind of where you come in. And the topic that I'd like to discuss today, if we could. Let's start. Give a little bit of a background of yourself, if you don't mind. How old you are, where you live, and how long you've been running.
Well, I'm 73. I live in Georgetown, which is about 30 miles north of Austin, Texas. And I kind of fiddled around running a little bit here and there. I was in the car business, so I always worked really long hours. And in 99, I happened to run across a person that I had from one of my other lives, and they looked in really good shape and gorgeous and everything. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, oh, crap. So that's when I really kind of started running, and that second year I ran four marathons, and then I think I've run 11 or 12 since then. I currently run, walk about 30 miles a week. I usually do, I run for 3 days, 5 miles during the week, and then I bike one day. And then I do my long run on Sunday, and that'll vary anywhere from 10 to sometimes as much as 18 or so. So
that's, wow.
And what are the things, and I don't mean to be stepping on your lines, Kevin, but, you know, your comment about run till you're 100, see, that's the big deal for me about running and walking. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are stubborn and got this hard-headed thing that unless you run the whole 10K or the whole half marathon, or you're a sissy, you know?
Right.
And when you start in getting in your mid-60s and on up, you better put the sissy business aside and just try to finish them, you know. And so this running and walking has been a way for me to really extend my running career and keep me in really good health.
That's funny you say that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. I would say if you're from Kenya and you can run a 27-minute 5K or 10K or a 2 hour and 10 minute marathon, then maybe this walking thing ain't for you. But for the rest of us, if you're not planning on winning the Boston Marathon coming up, you better be in for the long term, not just, hey, you know, how many miles can I run or how fast can I run next month? I totally agree.
Kevin, and I don't want to get off the subject, but this is just so important to me. You a while back, somebody called in on one of your podcasts, talked about, well, you know, I'd like to know what motivates people to run.
Yeah, right.
And I am motivated to run by fear.
Okay? Tell me about that.
And I live in a retirement community of 7,500 people, and I see all these people with walkers and dragging oxygen tanks and, you know, various stages of disability.
You're right.
And I'm scared to death to be like that, Kevin. And the only way I know of to keep from being like that is to keep running.
Right. That's so amazing that you say that, Keith, because I had a conversation when I first started or thought about this experiment thing. I called a buddy of yours and mine. It's a buddy I'll call Steve, who happens to be a runner from Oxford, Massachusetts.
Yeah, right.
And told him about this. And actually, between you and I and the other six people listening, I told him I thought he was a poster child for this. You know, somebody who wants to break this friend of mine wants to break 4 hours real bad, and but he keeps getting injured. Okay,
yeah.
And his reply was, I think eventually the older I get, I will start doing the Galloway thing, but right now I want to break 4 hours. So, and you know, I see where he's coming from, but I'm going to ask Jeff this question on my next interview with him, but. My point is, first of all, Jeff would not agree. Jeff would say you can absolutely break 4 hours with this, but to an extent, I could see if you're either going to get hurt and stop running and never run again, and then probably be one of those people with the oxygen tank that you're seeing, or you're going to start inserting some walking breaks and be able to run when you're 73 years old.
Well, so I work in a running shoe store part time.
Right.
And I mean, I see these people every day. We have these people coming in, you know, and they've got various knee issues, or plantar fasciitis, or IT band, or pinniforis, or whatever it is.
Right.
And I think a lot of that is coming from the fact that as they mature, they're trying to keep on running like they did when they were 25.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you also have a lawnmower business, right?
Yes,
I don't know how they let you live in a retirement community, Keith. You need to get the heck out of there. They're going to kick you out one day.
I did four big longs on Saturday, and then I did 14 miles run walk on Sunday, and then Monday I came back and did four more longs.
Oh my! Are you also inserting walking breaks on your shorter days, those five mile days, or just your long run?
No, yes, I am.
So every time you head out the door, you're inserting walk. What kind of ratio are you using currently?
Well, I can't tell you exactly. I've got my interval watch set for 4 and 1 for when I run races.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not racing, I have certain places, like, you know, I walk up the hills.
Okay.
And I'm not embarrassed to tell you.
No.
So if I come to a hill and I've only been running for 2 minutes, more than likely I'll walk up it, you know.
Right.
So I really, on my training and during the week, it's just more based on how I feel and what the terrain is than it is on the actual times. But to answer your specific question, when I run races, and I ran 17 races last year, I run 4 and 1.
Do you win awards at this point, Keith?
In my age group, yeah.
Yeah.
Bear in mind that the Austin area is a little over 1 million people, and we have a series called the Distance Challenge. It starts in October with a 10K, and it goes a 10K, a 10-miler, a half marathon, a 20-miler, a half marathon, and a marathon. And I've won my age group in that Distance Challenge for the last, this is the third year I've won it.
Oh, that's very cool. Are you when you first started doing this, Keith, did you just kind of make this thing up, or did you go out and start looking at the Galloway method, or how'd you get started?
Oh, I read my first Galloway book years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how long ago. But anyway, it just made sense to me. And then I went through a kind of a tough stretch where running was really, really difficult for me, and after seeing a couple of different sports medicine doctors, and I finally found, and everybody told me it was all in my head, and I finally found a vascular surgeon, and I had a 90% blockage in my left femoral artery and 70% in my right. So then I had to start all over. After I had the Roto-Rooter job, I had to start all over again.
Well, that's very cool. You ran how many marathons just last year?
I only ran one marathon last year, and I ran one marathon and one 20-miler and two half marathons, and then I did a 50K trail run.
And you told me that you've got a 50K trail run and maybe a 50-miler on the calendar this year sometime?
Yeah, well, that's kind of wishful thinking,
uh-huh.
But that's...
It's your bucket list.
My plan this year is that I'm going to back way off of the road races and concentrate more on long runs. And there's a 50-miler over in Huntsville, and I think it's in December. And, God, I'd love to do that before I hang it up.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, Keith, but if there's anything, any piece of advice you want us to know, I would pay you for it. Is there anything we haven't spoken about that's very important for this that we should know?
Well, I think, and at the risk of being redundant, Kevin, is that, I mean, don't be embarrassed about taking walk breaks, you know? I think a lot of people are embarrassed about it and think that they're a sissy and less of a runner.
Absolutely, yeah.
I could care less, and they should care less. They should focus on the, you know, just how much fun it is to be out there and being active and staying in good health. And if you have to run to and walk to, who gives a big rat fanny, you know? Just get out there and get after it, man. Don't quit just because you're getting old and you can't run 30 minutes without stopping. You know?
Right, right.
That's the important issue to me.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me today, Keith. And I got to tell you that if anybody out there is looking for some sort of a hero in the running lives, we may have just found one, because I think you've shot close to the top of my list.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, I guess the other thing is that it's kind of off the subject a little bit, is that when you get to be 65 or 70 or 73 like I am, there's a certain amount of discomfort involved in running. Some people would call it pain, but I don't like that word. So. But there's a certain amount of discomfort, and, you know, you just got to suck it up, man, you know?
Right.
And keep on running.
There's a mantra for you.
Kevin, I just can't tell you how important your podcast and Steve's podcasts are to me. Because, like, if I do a 2.5 or 3 hour long run on a Sunday, you know, without those podcasts to listen to, I'm not sure I'd keep doing it, really.
So, well, this is minutia, Keith, but I also got to tell you that not only is it unbelievably cool how at your age you're doing what you're doing, and an inspiration to everybody that hopefully we can be doing what you're doing, but I got to tell you how impressed I am that you have figured out how to even use download podcasts and use an iPod at your age. I can't get my mother to figure out how to turn one on.
If you heard all the bad words that I use sometimes, but you know, Kevin, running is my passion. It's become my passion. And I work in this little running shoe store up here and work with all these runner wannabes and runners who got injured. And, you know, we really spend a lot of time with our customers. And the other thing I would pass on to people is, boy, you know, find a good running shoe and make sure you're in the right shoes, because I see, and no disrespect for the big boxes, you know, that run the $49 running shoes in the paper on Sunday, but I can't tell you how many people I see in a week that come in here and say, I just bought these shoes last week and, you know, my foot hurts or my ass hurts or whatever it might be, and because they got in the wrong shoe.
Right.
And so, you know, I hope all your listeners will take that to heart. And most of the, you know, that small extra few dollars you might spend to get in the right shoe is really, really well worth it.
Well, listen, Keith, I'm going to let you go, but if it's all right with you, I very well may want to call you again, and let's chat about some more topics on this thing as we go along in this experiment, because I got a feeling that we're going to be talking a lot more about, you know, like you said, who really cares if you can run a marathon? This thing is. You know, can you still be running when you're 100 years old? And I got a feeling there's going to be some more stuff on this I'd like to discuss with you, if that's all right.
Okay. Anytime. And thank you so very much for all your hard work. I know it's a lot of work doing all this stuff, Kevin, but it means a lot to us, okay?
Thanks, Keith.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's head over to what's become very quickly the most popular part of this show, to the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment Hotline, and talk to our friend and fellow runner, Jeff Galloway. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Caught you early morning today down in Atlanta.
Yes, it's good to get the day going with some good running talk and some running ideas, and hopefully some folks can have a much more enjoyable run as a result of it.
The last time we spoke, which was 3 to 4 weeks ago, you were getting ready to head to the West Coast for the Big Sur Marathon.
Oh, what a treat.
How'd that go?
Well, it's the most beautiful course that I've ever run. And, you know, obviously there are different kinds of beauty, but this one, you know, it's just breathtaking in spots, and it just pulls you along. The other major element is that the people who put this on do such a great job, so that you just enjoy the whole experience, the whole weekend.
From what I hear, it's a race to go out and just completely enjoy. It's not necessarily a PR course. Is that true?
That's true. Most of the folks who have done other marathons within the same time frame find they run about 20 minutes slower on this course. But I will tell you that those who practice and do a lot of training on uphills and downhills can come much closer to that. And I hear from several people every year that set PRs on this course. It depends mostly on your ability to run downhill.
Right, right. Okay, well, that's going to fit in perfectly with one of the questions we're going to go over today. So what's next on your marathon?
Barbara and I have completed our current marathon a month schedule of, I don't know how many months in a row, but we did 7 marathons in a row.
Wow.
And but the next marathon won't be until August, which means that we will maintain running long about every 3 weeks, but it's only going to be 20 miles. And then when we go out to our Tahoe retreat, the weather is just so wonderful out there that we will be doing 26-miler out there in preparation for an Alaska marathon in August.
Oh, that's very cool. When's the Tahoe deal?
It is the middle of July.
And that's a week long?
It's a week long retreat full of information as well as just some of the most wonderful trail runs that I've ever gone on. The north shore of Lake Tahoe where we are is just full of beautiful trail runs. Some of them are just amazing in their vista points overlooking Lake Tahoe and majestic trees and pioneer trails. It's a wonderful place to run.
Nice, and that's JeffGalloway.com has all the information on that?
Yes.
On that gig, I assume? Good. This wasn't in my notes, but I'd like to know, Barbara, how long has it been since she's been injured?
Well, she has had some tennis injuries. She plays tennis also.
Okay.
But in terms of a running injury,
right,
we're not really sure that she's had one in, you know, a couple of decades or so.
Nice.
And she has had some aches and pains, and sometimes there's gray area as to whether it was the tennis or the or running marathons every month may have aggravated a tennis injury, but purely running, I don't think it's been 20. I think it's been probably 20 years.
Nice. Well, before we get into the specifics of the Extra Mile podcast experiment, it's time for Kevin's selfish moment where I get to ask whatever I want.
Good.
And we all would love to think we could turn our passion into an actual career and make a living at it. And this running, obviously, anybody who's listening is their passion. So I'd like to know, how and when did you realize that you could actually turn this thing into a career and make a living at it?
Well, it was a long process, but I first started trying to do that in 1973. I had just completed a year of teaching, and I thought I was going to do that as a career, and I just didn't enjoy the classroom aspect of that. So I shifted gears and knew I wanted to teach, but what I wanted to teach is the lifestyle aspects of fitness through running. So I went back to an idea that had been implanted in me by a good friend of mine who opened one of the first stores by the company Blue Ribbon Sports that became Nike, and they opened a few stores back in the 60s, and I actually was up in Eugene helping my friend Jeff Hollister open the store, mostly sweeping the floor, cleaning the toilets, you know, that sort of stuff, the basic stuff. But from that point in 67, I always sort of had in the back of my mind, if whatever I decided as a career didn't turn out, then maybe I could open up a running store. And actually, Jeff's store wasn't a running store. It was a store to sell the shoes that they produced at that time, which were Onitsuka Tiger shoes. They imported those shoes from Japan.
Okay.
But it was a variety of sports. I wanted to do running, and so my first venture was a running store, Fidipides, which we still have two stores in Atlanta. But I learned business through that store, and as people started coming in, they would learn about my training methods and then would say, you know, I sure would like to have a group to run with that does this. So I started running groups, and then I'd be brainstorming with customers, and they'd say, gosh, do you ever think about doing runs up in the mountains or on the beach, you know, like a week or so as a retreat? So I said, yeah, we ought to try that. And we started those in 1975. As far as I know, we are the oldest continuously run running store anywhere. I've not heard of a specialty running store, but that doesn't really matter. The fact is that we have a wonderful life now in being able to devote our resources to helping runners find the right shoe, find the right lifestyle, and find the right training program. And in the process, all these other things have come up. I will be honest with you that I've had probably 15 years and over that span that I wasn't sure I was going to pay the bills. And a lot of those years I didn't. I went into debt and was able to work my way out of it and we've gone through four really bad recessions. And small businesses are decimated by those things. I was just too stubborn to give up.
Well, good. Let's get into the experiment deal. And recap just a little bit. This whole thing, this whole gig that I've got going here started with me trying to figure out the best way for me to finish a marathon. And while I was doing that and looked into your programming, dug into the several books of yours that I've read, I have this feeling now that I've been more worried about winning the battle than actually fighting the war. And what I'm talking about is I think I've tripped over something much bigger than finishing a marathon, and that is running until I'm 100 years old.
Great.
And although I want to actually devote the next episode to this topic, can you give us your thoughts a little bit about not just running or not just using this method to finish a marathon, but using it to run forever?
Well, from the time I started running back in 1958, I realized that this was good for me psychologically. It was good for the spirit, and I just had a spirit boost every time that I ran, even when I ran too hard, even when I puked back in those early years. But the fact is that having my Fidipides store and just listening to people talking about what running has done for them, and now having heard individually from over a quarter of a million people tell me these things, I know that this wasn't just me. It was a widespread feeling that people have of empowerment when they go through a training program. So my mission about 30 years ago became, how can people do this without getting injured while they enjoy the process? And if so, they might be able to do this for their whole life. And there are a growing number of people in their 90s that are continuing to run. There was a fella in the Big Sur 5K who I believe was 98 years old.
Wow.
And the human body is designed to keep going well past 100. It's our job to maintain it. And so the basic principles are, first of all, you got to take care of the health aspect, and that is healthy eating and the ability to avoid injury. And as you then insert the run-walk-run method, you'll find that you don't have to give up virtually anything else in your life. It's a minimal program. It allows you to gradually adapt to the running motion and develop all the ingredients that you need along the way. This becomes a blueprint for the health aspect of your life. And so many people have told me that they used the principles that they learned during a marathon training program of Run, Walk, Run to apply to health aspects the rest of their life.
So much so that you've got a book on the topic.
Running Till 100. That's my favorite book of all of them, in that we not only get into the aspects of running, but running and joint health. Surprisingly, for some, we couldn't find a single study showing that running harms your joints. There are quite a few studies showing how runners have much healthier joints 20, 30, 40 years after they started running and continuing. Also, the exercise on exercise and longevity, and it's all good that for every hour you exercise, you can expect to get 2 hours back in the extension of your life. What a return on investment.
No kidding.
But it also has the adjustments that can be made as the years go by, both nutritionally as well as in fitness, and how many days off per week,
right,
and walk breaks. And then even those that want to improve speed can make some adjustments. Now, speed training and racing a lot, these are the two elements that cause the greatest number of career-ending injuries. So I'm really very, very cautious about doing speed work after a certain age, and that age will vary with the individual. But there can be tremendous enjoyment from running all the way through the decades, and it's just a wonderful joy that comes when you stay active.
Well, I've got that on the slate to discuss in detail in the next episode, and in the meantime, I will put a link to that book from your website, Running Till You're 100, right?
Yes. That's it.
And maybe if the listeners want to go out there and grab that book and check it out before our next episode, it'll help out a little bit.
Absolutely.
Send me your questions. Read the book, send me the questions, and we'll talk about it.
That's great.
All right, so now, in our last episode, as our homework, we were to pick a schedule and then pick a possible fall marathon.
Good.
And I can't tell you the response I've gotten from people who actually have done that and then actually went out and signed up for a marathon. So they've jumped in with both feet. So
that's the big first step.
And for those people, we're like in the first third of the plan.
Yes.
We learned about the long run and what kinds of paces you should be doing. So the next couple of topics I want to talk about are some drills that your book talks about. And the first one is cadence drills.
Yes.
So tell me what they are, who should be doing them, why, how often.
Well, regardless of your goal, even if you are the barest of beginner and you just want to try to finish a 5K, having a cadence drill is going to improve your efficiency. Basically, both of my drills empower the right side of the brain, the creative and intuitive side, to keep searching for ways of running more efficiently. And what the cadence drill does specifically is, first of all, reset the part of your brain that deals with your turnover rate of your feet to accept as normal a greater number of steps per minute. Simple drill, you time yourself for 30 seconds, and we now have a run, walk, run timer that you can find on our website that beeps or vibrates so that you can set it up to do 30-second repeats, and it just keeps telling you when to do your next one, and then you can walk or jog easily for 30 seconds in between. But the idea is on the first one, to just count how many times your foot, either your left or your right foot, lands. Second time through, you want to increase that count by one or two. And you're not really working on speed. That may be a byproduct, and it certainly is for most people. But the main focus is simply to increase the count. I really started doing this myself back when I was training for the Olympics, because I was reading the research on stride length, which said that among distance runners, even middle distance runners, as they got faster, their stride length actually shortened. So all of a sudden, bingo, it's not stride length that will help you run faster, it's quicker turnover and more steps per minute. And this 30-second drill, doing 4 to 8 of these in a row, has been the best way I've found to do that. Now, you need to do it once a week. Regularity is super important because your body organism responds to regular activity, and I found that once a week is the minimum necessary to maintain and allow you to keep improving all those adaptations through the cadence drill.
So in one of your non-long runs, you would do these. You would add somewhere after a warm-up?
Yeah. After the warm-up, you just jog easily for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then you could do a little walk to recover and just get your mindset ready for it, think about it, and then just go into the drill, because it's not a fast drill at all. It's simply counting, and you start out at just your warm-up pace. Your only mission is to increase the number of times that one foot or the other increases, it touches, rather.
And the other drills we're talking about here are the acceleration gliders, true?
Yeah, that has a different mission. It also empowers the right brain to do certain things that will help you run faster. So this actually is an improvement drill, not a sprint, so you don't have to puke and you don't have to get injured doing this. But the idea is you, after the warm-up, and most people that I've worked with will do the cadence drill first. They'll do the warm-up, then the cadence drill, and then they'll move into the acceleration glider. Acceleration glider is a wonderful drill before a speed workout or a race or something like that, because it gets your body working up to top capacity. So you'd start out with about 15 steps, or so at a slow jog, and then you do another approximately 15 steps, it really doesn't matter how many, of a faster jog. Those are the warm-up segments. Then over the next 25 to 30 steps, you keep picking up the pace to what racers would identify as something that's about a 5K race pace. But again, we're only talking about 25 to 30 steps.
Right.
And then after that speed has been picked up, your mission is to glide off the momentum. You teach yourself how to coast, very gradually slowing down back to a jog. At first, it might not be a gradual slowdown. You might just stop.
Immediately, yeah.
Or at least only get a few strides of coasting. But you can teach yourself how to do this. And in the process, you learn how to use momentum at every phase of your running, whether you're running slow or fast or long runs, races, whatever. And that coasting mechanism that is intertwined with the rest of your running motion allows you to conserve more resources. Again, the right brain figures out how to do this and never really tells you, because it's really not a verbal section of you. But what I observe happening is that feet go a little lower to the ground, but they touch lighter, and the action of the ankle becomes better and better. And in the process, every aspect, mechanically and muscularly, is engaged in the process of going faster. So you prepare yourself for faster running. And those who are in an off-season will particularly benefit from this, because the acceleration glider drill, more than anything else, can keep the adaptations, the mechanical adaptations and the muscular adaptations for fast running intact, even when you're just running slow in the off-season.
Okay, great.
This is another drill that you would do 4 to 8 of them, and then go on to whatever you're doing the rest of the workout. A lot of folks will just have the middle of their maintenance runs be devoted to cadence drill and or acceleration gliders, the Tuesday, Thursday, easy, short runs, in other words.
Can you do both of those drills, the cadence and the acceleration gliders, within the same workout?
Absolutely. Or, and okay. You can do them 2 days a week, even 3 days a week, because they're only, you know, maybe 100 to 150 yards apiece. It's not a long drill at all.
Right. And it's not like going to the track and you're going to be all whipped at the end anyway.
No.
Okay.
No, you're not. These aren't tiring drills, and if you're tired from doing them, then you really didn't do them correctly. You ran too hard on them, or you didn't conserve energy. You spent it too much. And
right.
The whole force of this drill is to conserve energy, yet teach yourself how to run fast at the same time. And it can be done, and you have to practice it. And these drills allow you that venue to practice it.
And I should be able to do these the same week, say, you know, a few days ahead of my long run. It's not something I should skip the week before my long run or anything.
Not a problem to do them the same week. You can, because they're not sprints.
Right.
And you're only doing, you know, 100, 150 yards each at a time. You shouldn't be tired out after this drill.
Good. My last question is concerning hill workouts.
Good.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of hill workouts, who should be doing them? Is it something just, you know, people who are running for a time should do? How often, and why should we do them?
Well, we devote a good series of clinics at various ones of our retreats on hills, because it's a little hard to identify with the technique of running up and down just by describing it.
Yeah.
But I'll still try to do that. So it does help to have some instruction on this. But the bottom line is, first you have to try to work on your technique. And it will get better as you do the hill workouts. But the concept is more of a shuffle, both going up and going down. And by shuffle, I mean that you keep your feet low to the ground, you touch lightly with your feet, and then as you go up the hill, you try to pick up the turnover of your feet, and that means the number of steps that you're taking per minute. And as you go up the hill, the stride will shorten in order to keep the muscles resilient. So
Okay. You're
working on a number of things. You want to keep that muscle resiliency so it can keep going fast up the hill. And the way you do that is by shortening the stride. But by picking up the turnover rate up an incline, you'll notice some huffing and puffing at the top. That's your sign that you are strengthening those lower leg muscles. And I've found that hill training is the best way to strengthen those lower legs that do most of the work in running, far better than any form of arbitrary weight work that you can do in gym.
Yeah.
Because it's done in the act of running, and you really don't need a whole lot of strength to run, but you do need some strength to run up hills. And most people who run in races have to run uphill, so you
sure.
get a side benefit of getting practical experience to prepare for that next hilly race.
Do you recommend hills for everybody, no matter what kind of a schedule they're on?
Because you do encounter hills, or most people have to encounter hills sometime throughout the year, it's a good idea to have a few hills in your routine. Now, folks that live in certain portions of Florida, Texas, Chicago, places like that, are hill challenged, and therefore they need to work on overpass or a bridge or, you know, something like that.
But be creative about that. Yeah,
those work just as well. And you can even use sand on a beach for that. You have to be careful because the give in sand needs to be gradually adapted to. Otherwise, you can get injured. But the strengthening effect is about the same, whether it be on a beach or up a hill. Again, the extra give is something you need to watch out for at first until the ankles adapt. But the idea of the hill workout is for beginners, you'd start with only 50 to 100 step long hill. You just count out the steps at first, mark the start and the finish, and those who have done a little bit of speed work could go up to between 100 and 200 steps long, and then advanced runners between 200 and 300 steps long as a longer hill. The idea, again, is to start out each hill at a slow pace to get yourself warmed up and in a good rhythm. And then, you, after just four or five steps, literally, you could start picking up the turnover rate, shortening the stride, going up and slightly over the top of the hill to get used to that, and then walk down the hill for complete recovery. I asked my e-coach folks to start with two hills and then increase by an additional hill each week, eventually getting up to a maximum of eight repeat hills. And at that point, what we usually do in my training programs is we'll drop down, usually doing these on Thursday, a short run day, Thursday in the middle of that run. And on that day, once they've built up to eight, they could drop down to between two and four hills for the rest of the season. Not tire yourself out, but maintain all those hill adaptations.
And so you're going to do these once a week, and is it fair to say you're going to do these during your entire 26-week program for your marathon, or is it the first third, or how
long? The only time you wouldn't do it is if you're tired and you need some extra recovery.
Am I going to do it if I've even got a time goal and have some sort of speed workout in my calendar somewhere?
It wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
Because we're only talking about two hills at the minimum to maintain those adaptations.
And great.
They can be short. So the idea is not to really exhaust yourself, but just to maintain those hill adaptations, to feel smooth and efficient going up a hill. In the process, it's also good, and I have my advanced runners, those who are trying to qualify for Boston, to do some downhill running. Downhill offers you this tremendous opportunity to go fast, use momentum. And if you have the right technique, you don't have to pound yourself. And the right technique, as far as I'm concerned, is to keep those feet low to the ground. Again, it's a modified shuffle. And you're just avoiding letting that stride length get too long or bouncing off the ground. Those are the two things that can pound you and cause you to overuse your quads. If your stride length is under control and you're close enough to the ground, you never have to have sore quads, even after a course that has a whole lot of downhill.
And for those listeners who are challenged a little bit about reading and getting this in their head, you have a video out about a lot of this,
yeah.
Do you not?
Yes, it is my new DVD, Galloway Training, and it's available at jeffgalloway.com.
And they can actually just pop this in, and you specifically go over all of the techniques and visually, obviously, huh?
Yeah, I coach them through it, and of course, if they have further questions, and most people have a couple, because there's a lot of information on there, and
yeah.
You can just go to the website or the referenced book.
Great. Well, let's get into a couple of questions from some of our listeners. And before I do, I want to remind everybody that we're talking with Jeff Galloway, the author of the Galloway Run, Walk, Run Training Method, and complete information at jeffgalloway.com. Here's one that you probably have heard quite a bit, especially coming from Atlanta, as you do. This is from a buddy, Adam, down at he actually lives outside of Fort Myers, Florida, where obviously he is contending with the heat. He's also the podcaster, the amazing podcaster from the Here Zen Run podcast, and he has jumped in with both feet. He's entered into his very first marathon at the Marine Corps Marathon because of the interviews you and I have done. And he's using your method, but he's got that heat problem down in Florida, and it's going to get worse for him. So at certain times where he cannot get out very early or in the evening and beat that heat, He's trying to run on a treadmill. So, and his problem is he's running with a ratio of like 3-1, but the treadmill, it just takes him so long to like slow down or speed up, and all the button pushing. Is there, you have any tips for him? Can he adjust his ratio a little bit?
Well, there are a whole lot of issues with that. And of course, each one of us has to deal with our individual challenges. We have about 90 Galloway training programs around the United States, and most of them, about 75%, are in the southern half. So we regularly and have for 35 years dealt with heat and all the issues. And it's devastating on the human body if you don't make adaptations. I found several things that will help you. First of all, get out early. We in our training programs will often start them in the middle of the summer in places like Texas, where it's predicted to be 100 degrees that day. We will often start our runs at 2, 3 in the morning.
Whoa.
And in that way, you avoid the radiant heat of the sun, which really produces the greatest amount of stress on the body if you combine it with the temperature itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the sun, in addition to that, increases stress as well as it increases temperature. So anyway, that's the first rule. The second one is to slow down. Well, over the years I've analyzed this, and I found that you tend to slow down 30 seconds a mile for every 5 degrees above 60, that your body really starts heating up at 60. And even though it doesn't feel hot, for people in the South, between 60 and 70 degrees, you will get a detrimental effect by continuing at your 60-degree pace.
Right.
So once you've established a conservative long-run pace, for example, which should be no faster than 2 minutes per mile slower than your current predicted marathon pace, even better, your current pace that you have run in a past marathon, so at least 2 minutes per mile slower, then you'd slow down an additional 30 seconds per mile for every 5 degrees above 60. That means at 70 degrees, you really need to be running a minute per mile slower than that, and then at 80 degrees, another minute per mile slower. What that does is cut down on the extra effort, which produces even greater temperature increase inside the human body. And if you are running in before the sun gets up, we just haven't had heat problems in the 35 years we've been doing our Galloway training programs, mostly in the South.
So if I'm hearing you right, your real answer is do everything you can do to get outside and beat that heat, as opposed to get outside and run, as opposed to, you know, giving that up and trying to do something on the treadmill.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the fact is that you don't run exactly the same way on a treadmill. So it's okay to do it for short runs because it's close enough. The little adaptations you have to make are fine for short runs. But if all you do is run on a treadmill, you are literally in for shock when you go outside, run your race on pavement. And also in heat, because over half of the marathons today finish up significantly above a 60-degree temperature at the end. And so it's very likely that you're going to suffer badly if you've not acclimatized yourself for the heat.
James, the producer of Early Morning Cruisin' Podcast, speaking of getting out at some ungodly hour in the morning, he'd like to know if your method will benefit a 7-minute marathoner, or is it more toward the slower marathon runner?
Well, I've heard from more than 120 runners who broke 3 hours by using my method when they could not break 3 hours running their continuous method. So it really does help across the spectrum, and I continue every year to hear from people who run in the 240s, 230s. The fastest I've heard somebody just absolutely certain that they benefited from Run, Walk, Run, was a guy who improved his time from 2:33 to 2:28.
Wow.
The only thing he changed was putting walk breaks in every mile.
That's amazing. Eva would like to know what your opinion of using the elliptical trainer as a cross trainer on non-running days.
Fine. I've checked with a number of experts. We have a fellow physiologist that comes out to our Tahoe retreat every year for presentations, and Gary Moran, I've checked with him on this, and he says that the muscles that are used in most of the elliptical trainers are not the same ones you use when running. Now, obviously, you can gear them up too. So you really want to take the basic elliptical motion, which sort of runs for you so that you're not pushing off on your calf muscle. So it's perfectly appropriate to use as a second workout on a running day or to be used on a non-running day.
Great. And that's pretty much all I got for today, Jeff. So what I'd like our listeners to do for our homework next episode is to read up on the cadence drills, the acceleration glider drills, and also the hill workouts, and then get out there and start doing them while it's still early in our training program before we get too far along.
Absolutely. The early season before you get into speed training or the really long runs, that early season is just perfect for doing hill work because you can develop strength and it becomes a very good base for then the increase in mileage and also the increase in speed for those that are trying to improve their times.
Good. Like I said, the next episode we're going to devote to using this method to hopefully have us running when we're 100 years old. And
well, that's why I wrote the book. And I got to tell you, Kevin, the one thing that I put out as a disclaimer, and that is that after 100, you're on your own.
I'll take that. That's all right. You get me to 100, I'll take the rest. How about that?
That's super. That's a deal.
I will put the link to the book as well as to the video out on the webpage, but they're both available at jeffgalloway.com. So let's get our homework done. And in the meantime, if you've got questions about running till you're 100, I'm taking those right now.
That's great.
I appreciate your time again this morning, Jeff.
Well, Kevin, this is fun. I always enjoy talking with you, and you are just the best in this. You do such a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a good safe trip. I know you're heading. Is it to Texas this week?
No, this week I just got back from Texas.
Okay.
But I'm going to. Actually, that's a good thing to mention because I have a lot of free clinics, and the next ones are in Raleigh, North Carolina, and then a whole series of Florida cities next week, Daytona, St. Augustine, Jacksonville, where we do the breast cancer marathon, free clinics. And I guess I may not have mentioned Daytona Beach. Anyway, we have a whole series of times that I'd be glad to answer any questions. So go to jeffgalloway.com, and I'd be happy to see you.
And that's a good point because I get I get emails about when you're going to be where for these free clinics, and I think it's probably because I signed up for your newsletter. Is that the way to get onto that list?
That is. It's a free newsletter, e-newsletter, and you can just sign up for it on our website. It has a variety of my little secrets each month, and then
right. It
has also the latest free clinics and other opportunities that we have.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time again this morning, Jeff, and we'll be in touch.
Great, Kevin. Good to talk.
Okay. See you, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. The Extra Mile Podcast Experiment, Episode 3. I would like to give particular thanks to fellow listener Chris, who is providing me with some pretty valuable feedback as we go along here with regards to effective interviewing. Chris is in the industry, and I'm sure has forgotten more than I know about conducting an effective interview. And his constructive criticism has been invaluable, so I won't mention his whole name because he hasn't said I could. But Chris, thank you very much, and I ask you to please keep that up. So, what do we think? Huh? Have we all been worried about making chocolate cookies and stumbled upon chocolate chip cookies? What do you think? Have we all been trying to find a way to finish a marathon and found a way to keep running until we're 100? As I said, I'm going to devote a little bit more time to this topic in the next episode because I honestly feel we may be so worried about fighting the battle, we're not paying attention to winning the war. So that'll be in the next episode of the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment. And if you have thoughts or opinions on that topic, I welcome them. So what now? Where do we go from here? What kind of homework is Kevin going to pass out now? Well, honestly, I think what we need to determine now is it time to fish or cut bait? If you're looking into this method as a way of running a fall marathon, then our greatest luxury has been time, and we are running out of that. Hopefully you have done some of the previous homework and now have a pretty good idea about what this method is, what it entails, and what it promises. You also maybe have one or more fall marathons in mind and have put them down in your calendar along with a pretty good idea of what kind of a schedule Jeff would recommend for you. And my guess is when you look at all that, it's pretty much time to get going. So as your homework, I would recommend you either fish or cut bait. I hope that you decide to fish. And if you do, please send me an email or a submission and tell us about it. Tell us why you've decided to do it. You know what? If you've decided not to do it, that this is not for you, please share that too. This is an experiment, and it doesn't necessarily mean there's one right or wrong answer. So share, please. If you are one of the quite a few who has decided to do this, I beg you to get over to BuckeyeOutdoors.com and sign up for the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment Challenge. This is not a challenge per se. It's merely a way to see what your fellow runner is doing in the way of training and to carry on a discussion with those training with you. There's some pretty good banter going on back and forth on that challenge, so I will put the website in the show notes as well as a lot of the things mentioned in today's show. Jeff's book, Running Until You're 100, as well as his DVD on marathon training. Let's face it, some people just need to see what Jeff's talking about. And the DVD is probably a good way to do that. So I'll put all that in the show notes. Thanks for taking us along. I really appreciate all the feedback I'm getting, good and bad. And don't forget, you can send your comments, questions, concerns, experiences with this method and the experiment along to the Extra Mile Podcast at gmail.com. Or feel free to call the hotline at area code 206-339-6497. The website also has a link to all of our Twitter accounts, and we will certainly follow you back if you request to become our Twitter friends. I'm on Facebook as well if you're into that Facebook thing. So that should do it for today's episode. Thanks again, and until next time, go enjoy your extra mile.